Blog Talk Radio.
This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
All right, so we are not doing an entrance for this debut episode because Mr. Martez is not at his computer, so he didn't have the opportunity to set everything up. But Martez, are you here with me?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. What's up again, Jim?
All right.
What's up?
I'm good. Had issues yesterday, but it's cool. We're gonna put that aside and move on. But today we're totally shifting directions. So we are talking General Hospital today. This is Dave. What are we calling this show anyway? What did you say? It was General Hospital 123?
Yeah, General Hospital 123. And for those of you that are listening, what do you call this? I'm gonna look at this as we're just shooting the SHIT. Is that what we call it? Shooting it. I don't curse. So
shooting the shit.
Okay. You know, but I do
shooting the breeze is the term you were looking for, though. Shooting the breeze.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to get my vocabulary together when it comes to the curse words. Maybe I'll fly a curse word out.
You don't have to curse. You don't have to curse. I think it's just words, but some people don't. So you don't have to curse. You can just replace it with some little old lady word, like, you know, I don't know. But anyway.
What you asked me, the name of it, you know, well, people don't know. We do our best to present these shows. We normally talk wrestling and maybe we talk sports on other shows, but we decided to step into the soap opera realm because I remember a few years back we were on Wrestling Imitates Life, and I think I was doing that segment called Five Random Questions for Jed, and I think some kind of way it came out that we both are soap opera fans, so that's why we're here today. And, you know, the name of this show is General Hospital 123. The 123, it really doesn't mean anything. I just felt like it sounded good. General Hospital 123. So there's no huge meaning behind the 123. Maybe later on we can reevaluate and maybe adjust the name. But for this show,
how about you flip it? We call it 321 General Hospital.
You know what? That sounds much better. I hate that I didn't figure that out on my own, but that sounds much better.
I don't know. It just kind of hit me because I mean, as wrestling fans, you know, I think of X-Pac 123 because that's a podcast out there called X-Pac. Or is it X-Pac 360?
What?
No, it's X-Pac
123.
But nevertheless, I don't know. For some reason, it struck me similar, so I don't know. I flipped it. It sounded good in my head, so I just suggested it. But General Hospital is the topic here, and we're going to try and not bring up wrestling because I know that majority of this fan base is going to be female, and they don't want to talk wrestling, so we're going to keep it strictly General Hospital. Now, we do have a caller on hold, Martez. I don't know if you want to bring him on now or if you want to do a bit of a monologue first.
I think we should just do a monologue, and then we can bring I think we know
okay,
who that
so
is.
Whoever
by
is
way.
On hold, just be patient, and I promise to you we will get to you. So we'll start this debut episode off with how the two of us got into General Hospital to begin with. Because it's not as uncommon as people think that guys like soap operas. There's more of us than you think. It's just it's so looked down on in the alpha male community that it's almost like wrestling back in the 80s. It was or whatever. You weren't supposed to like it, and if you liked it, you were a nerd. So if as a guy, if you like, you know, soap operas, you were looked at as like a sissy. But it's BS, and we're gonna tell you what got us into General Hospital. And when you come on the air, feel free to tell us what got you into General Hospital. And we can just be united in the fact that we like this program.
Yep. 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 Absolutely.
So what do
Absolutely.
You, what got you into General Hospital, Martez?
Oh my God. Number one, I got to give credit to my mother. Looking back on it, I didn't think I would be giving her credit at this point in my life for me liking General Hospital, because I hated it. You know, I hated it when I was a younger child. I think I was around 8 years old, and she basically forced me to watch that with her. I wanted to watch cartoons, or I wanted to watch something that was that kids normally watch. But my mom used to have me on the couch with her, and we would watch General Hospital, One Life to Live, All My Children. But I remember at that time it was All My Children at 1 o'clock Eastern, then One Life to Live, then General Hospital. You know, and after so long, after being forced to watch it, I started to like it. And this had to be around, I want to say, 1998 when I was being forced to watch it. And maybe around, if I'm saying my words correctly, maybe around 2001, 2002. When I was in high school, I started to like it. I would come home, and I would rewatch the episodes on soaps. I think it was soapnet.com, because I was in school. I think I'm speeding up my story, and I'm sorry, but
a little bit. I don't
school.
Think soapnet wasn't a thing back in 2001.
No, so yeah, well, it was a thing in 2005. I'm gonna get to 2000. I think it was 2005. Anyway, I started liking General Hospital because of my mom. And when I got into middle school, early high school, I still watched it, but I wasn't really a crazy fan yet. But it wasn't until 2005 when Jerry Jacks, because I always knew about Sonny, I always knew about Jason, I always knew about Luke and Laura, Elizabeth. But it wasn't until that storyline, if you remember, when Jerry Jacks, Jackson's brother, when he had everybody hostage in the Metro Court. And I thought
that was 2007.
Okay. Anyway, I got my years wrong. But
no, it's when you watch it for decades, it's hard to keep those time frames in you know, clear.
It is, and I call myself a General Hospital junkie and a historian, so I'm gonna shoot myself in the foot when we get off that I didn't know the time frame.
Don't worry about that, man. Like I said, people have been watching it for decades. It's hard to keep that stuff straight.
It is. But it was that particular that storyline when Jerry Jacks had everybody hostage. I thought Jerry Jacks was the coolest character in the world. You know, his accent, his accent captivated me. So that really, from that point on, I said I'm a General Hospital fan, and I never stopped watching it ever since. I don't miss an episode. I preferably like to binge watch the episode. I like to go 20 episodes without watching it, just so I can save up a day to watch along.
I do it once a week. I binge watch a week at a time.
Yeah. Okay. It works either way. You know, it's still fun for both of us to be able to binge watch this great show. But let me say this: the two people that I know I was just speaking in a celebratory forum about Jerry Jacks, but the two characters that really, how should I put this, that I put on a pedestal is Sonny Corinthos and Jason Morgan. When I talk about these two gentlemen, I get chilled. There's something about these two characters that has really allowed me to be hooked into General Hospital. And if it wasn't for those two characters, I probably still would watch it, but those are the reasons
it wouldn't be the same. No way.
And Jason.
No, through like the 80s and the first half of the 90s, it was kind of based around the Quartermains and the Spencers. And you didn't really think that the show would be the same without the Spencers. But when Sonny came on and Jason became his enforcer, and the Corinthos family has become so big now, the Corinthos family is the staple of General Hospital now. It just wouldn't be the same without them.
it wouldn't, and it's gonna be a sad. And I know you got to get into why you fell in love with General Hospital, but it'll be a sad day when Jason, I mean, and Sonny is not there. I remember when Jason went away for, it had to be, I think it was 5 years.
Oh, my wife and I were livid when they killed Jason. And then when they brought the guy that would become Andrew came in and they told us that he was the new Jason, oh, we were livid again. We were like, you cannot replace Steve Burton. That man is Jason's to the core. And then a few years back when they finally made the announcement that he was coming back, my wife and I were both marking out. We were like, holy crap, it's happening. He's coming home.
Hey, listen, that makes three of us because I marked out, you know, I will always log into SoapCentral.com because that's where I go to get the rumors and things like that. And I was counting down the days to when he was coming back because I remember he debuted again on General Hospital. It was September of, what was it, 2017 or something? I don't know the year, but I think it was September 16th when he came back.
It was 2017 because he was gone for 5 years. And he left in 2012. So it was late of 2017. I actually think it was like September 24th to September 25th of 2017. I can't remember the exact day, but I think that's about right. But, yeah, when I first saw it, because I caught a glimpse of it on YouTube, they had a little promo that was it caught my attention. And I tapped on it, and they said Jason – it just had Jason pulling up in this on this black screen – on a motorcycle, and it said Jason Returns, and I flipped out, and I said, Carrie, get out of here, you gotta see this. I showed her, and she just started jumping up and down, and happening, you know, it was ridiculous. It was like Christmas morning for us.
That attributes the impact he has had on many people's lives, man. That's a tribute to him.
It's that character. There and here, real quick, I'm going to tell everybody. I'm going to make it short and sweet. I got into soap operas in '96. I was a dropout of high school, and I was bored to tears. And my stepsister and my brother's girlfriend were staying at our house, and they were watching it. And I saw it, and I was like, asked them about it, and I started to watch it. And when I realized that there was no off season, because I always hated summer vacation because that was the off season for television. And I was a couch potato. So it was like off season was like it was maddening to me because I didn't go outside and play. So what am I supposed to do with no new episodes on? So I used to be a big movie buff. I'm still a big movie buff. So during the off season, this is when I would focus on collecting my movies and this and that. But when I came across General Hospital and they explained to me that it didn't have an off season. So, you know, there'd be a few days out of the year where it would be preempted, like on Thanksgiving and Christmas Day, they would play a rerun. Maybe a couple of times out of the year, especially when the presidential, you know, that like the news would interrupt it. They would postpone it a day. You know, they'd say, well, we didn't get to air it. They didn't just scrap it. They said, we didn't air it today, so we're going to pick it up right where we left off the next day. You know, they always kept very continuous with it. And there was never an off season, always a new episode. So I fell in love with it. I was like, oh, my God, you know, 52 weeks out of the year, I have new content to watch every week. That was the main reason I fell in love with it. But it did creep up on you. It creeps up on you that you fall in love with it because of the storylines. And soap operas get a very bad rap for bad acting, and it's not. There is actually pretty good actors on these shows. Yeah, occasionally you'll get somebody that doesn't quite meet your expectations, but
right.
That brings me back to what I was going to say about Jason, is that sometimes there is just a personality or an actor that embodies the character, and nobody can replace them because they are just so good in that role, and Jason Morgan is one of them. Sonny Corinthos is another one where nobody else can play that role. There was a time period around that same time, around 2007, when you really fell in love with it, that they changed Edward Quartermain. They switched over to this other dude, and I hated it because the old dude that played Edward Quartermain when I started watching it was the only Edward Quartermain for me. He was the only one that fit that role. My wife was pissed when they recast Carly the first time. When they went from the first chick to the second chick, she hated her.
Sarah Brown, yeah.
There's actually been four Carlys, and the third one was only there for, I want to say, less than a year. And then she went to Shady Brook or whatever it was, and then they introduced Laura Wright.
Now,
Laura Wright's been on there since 2007. I'm sorry. I'm going to wrap this up here real quick, Martez, because I don't want to talk over you the whole time.
I'm loving this. I'm loving this. I'm going to have my time to talk, but I'm loving this.
Okay. As long as you're good.
I'm good.
Initially, my wife didn't like her because she got tired of all of the new Carlys. But Laura Wright has been Carly now for 14 years. Now she has established herself as Carly. If they recast Carly again, it's gonna suck.
It is. They were better off.
I'm gonna go ahead and pause there. We'll come back to that stuff later. Okay. I'm gonna throw it back over to you. Actually, you want to bring on the phone caller real quick?
Yeah. Let's do that.
Wow. Okay. Caller, you are on the line, and how's it going?
Hello.
A little
odd
hearing a couple of guys talk about General Hospital, huh?
Well, I missed your show last night. Sorry.
Oh, Gina. Hey, how's it going, sweetie?
I'm hanging in there. How are you?
Pretty good. You're just following us around all over this station.
I guess so.
Did you want to talk about General Hospital? Do you watch General Hospital?
I watched it when I was younger, and I kind of got out of it. I was, like, really young.
Okay.
But I didn't get paid to sit there and watch it, though.
Oh, believe me, we don't get paid to watch it. That'd be awesome. Just so you know, sweetie, this show is strictly about General Hospital, so Martez and I are not going to be talking wrestling.
I know. I understand. I have Thursday to talk about wrestling.
Okay. I'm just saying.
We don't want to get your hopes up high to let you down.
You're not letting me down.
Okay.
If you were letting me down, I sure wouldn't be waiting to say, at least say hi.
Oh, no problem. I mean, you're always welcome to call in and say hi. I was just saying that usually our conversations revolve around the independent vets that you work for and work with and the wrestlers that you like. And because this is about General Hospital, that kind of shortens our conversations.
Yeah, just a little. But not by much.
Martez, you can take it for a while. I did a lot of talking there for a minute, so I don't know what you want to do right at the moment.
Yeah, I want to. Gina, you got anything else you want to say? Or you got any memories about General Hospital before we let you go?
Just Laura and her husband, Luke, are like my favorite.
Luke and Laura were like the embodied General Hospital in the 80s. I want to say it was 81 that they got married.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm not sure, but it was definitely around that time.
I'm pretty sure it was 81 because I've seen a whole lot of like old episodes and stuff, and I'm pretty sure it was 81.
And that storyline, it was like at the time, it was the most viewed television program episode in the world because everybody was just enthralled with Luke and Laura.
Yeah.
Well, let me stop you right there because if I'm not mistaken, I think I just read a couple weeks ago, I think the anniversary came up a few weeks ago, and that's still the highest rating daytime show ever. And I couldn't believe it when I read it. That it's
that's what I'm saying. It was. I don't know what it had to do. I don't know when the royal wedding was, between Princess Diana and Prince Charles. I don't know when that was, but I don't know if it was connected to that or something. But they treated the Luke and Laura wedding like it was the royal family wedding. It was ridiculous. I wasn't there. I've just, you know, I've seen, you know, videos on it, but it's ridiculous how many people were interested in just that one storyline.
Yeah.
And those two are absolute legends. You know, they still get talked about today, and it's so weird. And we're going to let you go, Gina. You're welcome to stay on the line and listen. Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you Thursday.
All right, sounds like
all righty.
It's always kind of sad to let Gina go. I never know if we are hurting her feelings or not. But I know you guys don't. But,
yeah, I know. I don't like cutting her off either. And as much love as I have for you, Gina, you take up a lot of time on the air when we're talking to you sometimes.
Yeah, but I want to get to a general hospital. There's something that I want to do. I'm going to get back to what I was talking about, but it's something that I want to do before. I mean, throughout the show, just give an update on some things. I hope I'm saying his name correctly, but Roger Hawsworth, the gentleman that plays Franco. Yeah, he came out because most people think that he's off the show or they let him go, but he's still with the show, and he said he'll be back. But right now, we don't know what capacity. We don't know if he's going to be playing Franco again, if he's going to be playing who I hope that he comes back.
I've heard
Todd
rumors
Manning.
That he's supposed to come back as Todd Manning.
Listen, Jen, I'm going to stop you. Give me a few minutes to say this because he ranks up there with Jason Morgan. The way I was praying and hoping that Jason Morgan will return, I've been praying. I'm not going to lie and say I've been praying, but for the sake of this show, I've been praying and hoping that Todd Manning, the character Todd Manning, returns at some point. You know,
we're going to get into that.
Okay. Awesome. So we'll save that for a little bit later then. To go back to Carly, I want to go back to that Carly because I don't want to be all over the place. I want to go back to Carly, but this latest Carly, Laurel Wright, that's the Carly for me. I remember Sarah Brown, the original Carly, Sarah Brown, and I remember, I think her name is Tamara. I forgot her last name, but the middle Carly, the second lady.
Yeah, Tamara was Tamara something. I think it's hilarious that the first Carly came back as Claudia Zakara for a few years.
Yeah.
And then the second Carly came back as Kim Navarro, right.
Yeah.
It's always funny watching them come back and interact with Laura Wright because you're watching like two Carlys going at it. It was funny.
Exactly. But check this out because I remember, what was this? And no disrespect to Billy Miller. No disrespect to Billy Miller because I think he's an amazing actor. But he didn't steal that role of Jason Morgan. He didn't steal it and run away with it.
No.
That's why
no.
Jason was able to come back. You know, and I think if Carly.
Well, to get a little detailed on that, Jason was on another, or Steve Burton, I should say, was on another soap opera for those 5 years. And from what I understood was that it was a contract issue that him and his wife didn't want to travel to the General Hospital set or something. It was a travel issue that he didn't want to make that trip frequently. So he didn't renew his contract. And then I guess that the other soap opera was closer or offered a better deal or something. But nonetheless, it still crushed us.
Yeah, and that was in fact Young and the Restless, where he played a cop on Young and the Restless. It was always so weird to see him over there.
Right.
He was still caught up in that crime storyline, but he was on the other side of it. So it was always weird. And he didn't seem as intimidating as he does on General Hospital when he was on Young and the Restless. So that was weird. That wasn't the Jason I knew. He was almost like a cupcake. But it is hard to follow, as you were talking about this earlier, it's hard to follow after great characters. It's just hard. So I really want to give Laura Wright her roses, because Laura Wright, she took that role and she ran with it. You know, like, there's no way.
You have to embrace it.
Anything
in the entertainment business, it doesn't matter whether it's wrestling, soap operas, any kind of acting or performances, you have to embrace what you're doing. If you don't embrace it, it comes off as forced and faked. And Laura said, you know what? I got this contract. I have this opportunity. I'm going to embrace it. And she did.
And she's a soap opera vet. I remember when she was on Loving, the show that came on for a half hour before they.
See, now you're really starting
Charles.
To show your geekness, because you're bringing up some obscure soap operas.
Yep. Yeah, I was young watching this stuff, but I was able to retain it for some reason. I don't know how, but I was really young watching that show, Loving. Like, for example, and this is no disrespect to Nicholas, but this latest Nicholas, if
don't
Tyler
like
Christopher
him.
Was me either, I'm trying to like him, Jed. I'm trying, but he's not hitting it for me, man. He's not.
Because people expect a certain performance. Tyler Christopher was the first Nicholas, and he set the standard, and he embraced that character. So they had a different Nicholas in the middle of the 2000s that I didn't like either. And then Tyler Christopher came back, and I was so thrilled. And then they did the whole killing him off thing. And then they brought this guy in, and I'm like, dude, this guy looks like half the age of Tyler Christopher. And I don't give a damn if he's got a little gray in his beard or not.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand with soap operas, they do a lot of age jumping, but sometimes you just got to make it make sense.
And I read that Tyler Christopher, he could be on the market again, but I don't. He's what bothers me with him is he doesn't stick around long. That's my issue with him.
Here's the thing, Marquez, and this is something that when it comes to movie sequels, I absolutely abhor recasting. If you recast somebody in a sequel, I hate it. I absolutely hate it right out of the gate, because you know it's like it's not the same without the original cast. But with soap operas, I've learned to accept it, because soap, especially General Hospital, which has been running for 55 plus years, it's like you can't commit to something for your entire life sometimes. So when somebody says they don't want to renew their contract, or the studio says we're not going to renew your contract because you're too expensive, you're a butthead on the set, you know, whatever the reasons might be, the character it still has a lot more to give, they are sometimes stuck in a position that they have to recast. So I don't try to judge recasting. It's just if the character that they replace doesn't embrace it as much as the original, it still comes off as not acceptable to the fans.
Right, right. And I'm not against recasting too, but for example, one of my new favorite girls is Mario West. Nobody can. It's going to be hard to recast her if she ever decides to move on. Ava,
character.
You can't
I don't
recast.
Know a whole lot of the names. What's the character?
Okay. All right. Yeah, Ava. You can't. It'd be hard to recast Ava. You know.
Yeah, it would be hard to recast her. I feel that way about most of the original people. Like anybody that comes in and at the beginning of a role, it's hard to recast that first time. sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. Like, At first I did not like the new Nina, but I've learned to like this Nina better than I did the original.
Right. She's grown on me too. Yeah.
My wife and I was absolutely livid when they recast Lucky Spencer. That was a bad move because nobody could replace Joshua Jackson as Lucky Spencer.
Well, I agree with you, but this is where we're going to finally get our first disagreement of the night. I agree. Jonathan is Lucky, hands down. But I will say this. The other dude, I don't know his name, but I think
– The tall one or the blonde one?
The tall one. Oh, you're talking about the
okay.
Oh, yeah, they did replace him with – I forgot. They replaced him
– They recast him twice, yeah.
Yeah, the gentleman that played he played on All My Children. Eventually, he went to All My Children. I know who you're talking. He's the champion.
Yeah, it was like J.R. Jr. Or something like that.
Oh, yeah, so I agree. Yeah, I didn't like him either. But I did like the guy with the black hair. It was just – I just don't like – when you recast somebody, I want them to at least look like each other. Those two look totally opposite. The one with the dark hair versus Jonathan. They were total opposites of each other. But I did like the third incarnation of Lucky. And I've actually been hoping that they bring back that
He was character. Okay, but I was still happy when they brought back Joshua Jackson or Jonathan Jackson.
Yeah, me too. It's just something about him. He's a classic, like I said, he's a classic character. And
because he's one of those where he grew up on the show. When you see them from their, you know, in their childhood and their teenage years. And that's one of the things I think attracts people to soap operas in the long term, because it's almost like you're watching a secondary family grow up in front of your eyes. And that's why when originals like that, like the original Emily, when she got recast, I hated the new Emily. I never really caught on to her because I was so used to the original Emily.
Yeah. Did they speed her age up too, the original Emily? Because I remember I stopped watching it for a little bit, and then
no, they didn't. They didn't age jump her, but I think that when they recast her, I think the chick that replaced her was a couple of years older. But in the show, she did not age jump.
Okay. Gotcha.
I just remember that the original Emily went off to college. And the second Emily was the one that came back.
Okay. And then I stopped watching it when I think she was dating Xander. And I hated that I wasn't really around to really understand who he was. But I just recently
found
out
he wasn't there for long. And that's another rumor that's driving me nuts. And I pulled it up on YouTube just to verify this because, granted, soap operas are notorious for bringing people back to life, which is fine. If the explanation is understand, if it's even remotely plausible, right? Okay, bringing back the Steve Burton as Jason. You know, at first you're like, when they first made the announcement, everybody said the same thing. Well. Is the current replacement Jason leaving? Is he staying? How is that going to work out? And then they pulled this whole, you know, twin thing, which is another soap opera normalcy is everybody's got some sort of twin out there. But if somebody disappears and a body is not found, then yes, sooner or later somebody can come back to life.
Yeah.
Like with Drew's plane going down, that doesn't mean that Drew is gone. He's presumed dead. He'll probably come back at some point. But I looked it up. Xander, which is Cameron's biological father with Elizabeth.
What?
He apparently had a one-night stand or something with Elizabeth back in the early millennium, whatever, or mid millennium. And then he was with Emily for some reason.
Right.
I can't remember. Yeah. And
the final scene was Xander. They were in a house. He had kidnapped Emily or something. Emily talked him out of shooting his way out or whatever. And
yeah.
Her and Xander walked out of this house hand in hand. Xander was going to give himself up to the cops, but then he shoves Emily out the way, reaches behind him like he's going to grab a gun, and got shot dead in front of like a dozen witnesses and died in Emily's arms.
Wow.
So
I never knew
that's
that.
That's what drives me nuts is now I saw a rumor that Xander is supposed to be returning.
Yeah, I've been seeing that rumor,
I saw a picture of him and Cameron on the dock.
Yeah. So is he coming back as a ghost, or is he coming back as a regular character? Because I want to see him come
exactly.
back.
That's the question I want to know, because Cameron never knew his birth father, so why would he come back as a ghost?
Right. Well, good point. Well, you know Cameron saw Franco as a ghost.
Yeah, that one threw me for a hot second.
That did. But just to, because I don't want to, every now and then my brain moves so fast, I can just go from one subject to another without finishing one subject. But I want to see Xander back. But I do have an issue, Jared Williamson. I do have an issue with
yes, Martez
Ale being brought back to life. I kind of threw you off with that, huh? Or surprised you, you know. When I say your full name, that means I'm getting ready to say something that I'm passionate about.
Okay.
I'm tired of them bringing back people from life. It seems like it's happening too much. It's a cool concept. I love it. I benefited from it with Jason coming back. I benefited from it with Nicholas, this new Nicholas, the character Nicholas coming back. I benefited from other people coming back in the past. But I know at some point Morgan is going to come back. I know at some point Lulu is going to come back.
Right, because his body was never found. Lulu didn't die. Lulu was in a coma because I've heard rumors they're going to recast her.
No, don't do that. If it's the original Lulu, I'm fine with that, but don't bring anybody else in the fold.
You know what? The first teenage Lulu, I didn't like her. I never did. I thought she was whiny.
In all respect, she was whiny. I can hear her voice right now. she did have that whiny vibe. But her story
with Zakara
Anthony, not Anthony.
Johnny Zakara. I thought that was a great storyline with her. I thought that she did well with it. But for some reason, prior to that, and when she started with Dante, I didn't like that for her. I didn't think she did a good job with it. And then, believe me, at some point, because we're talking about General Hospital and soap operas in general, we're going to talk about some of the ridiculous storylines they've had in the past. It's bringing people back to life is one thing. But I was hoping when we do get a chance to talk with Mr. Andrews, I have some serious questions for him, because I need to know why in the past 6 months that General Hospital characters have been dropping like flies. Because in the bombing of the Floating Rib, we lost Lulu went out because of the coma. We lost what's his name? The guy she was dating at the time.
Oh, Brody.
What was his name?
No, that's not Brody. His name was Brody on One Life to Live, but his name was Dustin. Dustin.
That's right. Dustin. Dustin died. The kid died. That was staying with Sonny.
Dev
died. Yeah, and then Julian Jerome is—he's not dead, but he's on the run now, so he's left the show for the time being. Now Franco's dead. No.
I thought Sonny
he fell from the bridge with Sonny. Oh, that's right. They claimed that they found the body, but they didn't show anything about it.
Okay. So he's coming back at some point.
Honestly, I think that you remember the Valentine's Day gifts that Ava got at the Valentine's dinner with Nicholas with the cockroach?
Yeah.
I think that was Julian. Like a cockroach, he's not dead.
Wow. Now that's somebody that I wouldn't mind getting recast, even though William DeVry did a great job, but I didn't know the first.
Man, you know a lot of their real names, damn. I'm over here struggling to remember character names.
That's all right.
They've been dropping like flies, and I've just been wondering why all of a sudden. I mean, is it a budget thing? Is it a storyline thing? Is it a contract thing?
Well, what I've been reading, Jed, is this, and that's obviously he's somebody that you want to ask because he knows more than I know. I've just been reading the tabloids or the rumors on these soap websites, but I heard it's strictly budget. Ever since COVID, they've been on a budget spree. So that's why you even,
granted,
even with the
but
show,
that
if
also
you want,
brings up the question that if they're so tight on budget, why would they say they can afford to bring back Real Anders?
Good point.
Don't get me wrong. I love that he's back. I loved Taggart the first time around, so I was happy to see him return. And those are some of the returns that I really love is when they've been gone for a long time and then they make a return. But
I really didn't like the storyline he was in when he came back, though, but go ahead.
No, actually, I do. I like it because the first time around, Taggart was the straight arrow cop, and it was all about, you know, the letter of the law, and he was trying to get, you know, bring down Sonny because of the beef they had over Sonny's stepdad, Deke, and then he comes back, what, some 15 years later after the fact, and he went to the, what was it, DEA, and him Commissioner
Ashford, yeah.
Ashford, thank you. Had framed Cyrus Renault to put him behind bars. I think it was a very inventive and creative way to bring Taggart back and to kind of put a chink in the armor of the Taggart we knew back in the day.
I agree. You know, I think I was just stuck in that back in the day feel. I like to see the cops really gunning after Sonny. You know, I wanted that feud to last, and obviously it didn't last because they started working with each other, sorta. So that's the only reason why I wasn't a fan of the storyline. It's not a bad storyline, but I like that rivalry him and Sonny had, where he's
granted,
always gunning after Sonny.
But as we said at the top of the show, the Corinthos have become the staple of the show. Back in the 90s, you know, Sonny was the new crook in town. So he was the target of all the police and everything like that. But now that they have humanized him, and now that if you look at like in story kind of stuff, the cops know that even though Sonny does illegal things, that he keeps drugs and I don't know if he's against gun running too, but he keeps drugs out of Port Charles, and all of these bad guys that come funneling through are coming after his territory, and that's become kind of the staple of the show is who's the next bad guy that's going to come after Sonny's territory and will he keep it, you know? I would like to see a storyline where for at least a short period of time, Sonny has to kind of give up his territory and he'll get it back down the road. But I'd almost
like
to see Sonny get punched in the gut a little bit not get killed, obviously, because we love him so much,
right,
but get stuck in a situation where he has to hand over his territory to somebody, and he has to live with the fact that, you know, he's not the big boss in town anymore, but he works to try to get his territory, just like the Quartermains fight over the CEO of the ELQ. You know, so now Sonny's got to fight to get his position back as the head boss in Port Charles. I'd like to see that story at some point.
I never thought about that, but that's kind of it's hard, you know, to want to reduce your beloved character to a storyline to where somebody's taking over his territory. I think that's a good idea. I think they're kind of doing something like that right now, giving Sonny a different storyline, because I'm not saying the same old storyline that he's been playing for years is getting tired, but I think they wanted to spice things up for him. So the fact that people think he's dead.
Well, he's just got amnesia. Eventually the amnesia will play its role and he'll go back to Carly. But here's my philosophy on that one, is I think that because Nina knows the lady that is helping Sonny out, I think that Nina's going to go see her about something regarding Nell, find Sonny there, and keep it from Carly because Carly kept Nell's existence away from her.
Yeah, this stuff is so predictable. You know, it really is. And I'm going to take it a step further. Nina is going to have – she's going to sleep with Sonny. I'm predicting
Total affair has to be there. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you know soap operas, and you know Sonny. You know, Sonny will end up getting Nina pregnant, and the next Corinthos kid will be Nina's too.
Please, no baby. No more babies, man. Like
Actually, Nina, I think Nina can't have babies anymore, so that's actually not going to happen probably.
Right,
but
you never
then
know.
Again, it's soap operas. They'll all of a sudden switch gears, and they'll still be like, I thought I couldn't get pregnant. Oh, well, it's a miracle, baby.
Exactly. But
another reason why we love soap operas, because they're also so outrageous. You just kind of have to shake your head in laughter at the ridiculousness of it. Like I don't know if I could have handled back in the 80s when the Cassadines had the whole James Bond thing going, where they had the freezing ray and they were going to freeze the world, and Luke, Laura, and Robert Scorpio had to save the world from the evil Cassadine and their freeze ray. You know, I don't know if I'd have been able to survive that storyline, but
I always hear about that storyline, but I'm right there with you. I don't know if I will be able to.
They revisited it a little bit when they originally recast Lulu, because if you remember, Helena had frozen Stavros Cassadine and thawed him out and brought him back to life. I was just that was one of those, you know, shake my head moments, like, oh my god, they are really stretching here.
But it was during that time where they had to stretch, because I think Steve Burton had left around that time, and the show was good, but it wasn't really that good, so they had to come up with some.
No, I've never said the show isn't good. It's just some storylines they really stretch. But it's cool because it's fantasy, you know. It's literally
it's a
never ending movie.
Yes, and it's the world of make believe, and I'm ready to drink that world up every time. And General Hospital is why it's proven to have a special place in my heart. It have a special place in your heart. It is going to continue to have a special place, you know, because of storylines like this. I remember that storyline when Jerry Jacks came to town, and this might have been his last storyline, and I don't remember it verbatim, but I think it was something wrong with the water or something.
The last storyline that Jerry Jacks had was when Todd Manning, John McBain, and I know Star Manning was there. I can't remember if anybody else was there, but it was just after One Life to Live ended, and a couple of the One Life to Live cast had went to General Hospital. Was the storyline you're talking about, because Jerry Jacks had poisoned the water. That's what killed Edward Quartermain.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
I think that's also what killed Tony Jones.
When? Prior to this or?
No, no, that same storyline. I think that's where Tony Jones died too, I believe.
No, Tony Jones, if I'm not mistaken, he died way before that. Way, way before.
No.
He wasn't even around.
Pretty sure it was the same time.
We're going to have to fact check that when we get off the show because you know about Tony Jones that dated Bobby, right? And had a affair with Carly, right? Oh, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong.
No. Tony Jones and Bobby, Lucas is their adoptive son, and they had a daughter together named BJ, who died in a bus accident in 95, and they donated her heart to Maxie Jones.
All right, okay. Gotcha.
When Tony did have an affair with the original Carly, but Carly had gotten pregnant from AJ and played it off like it was Tony's kid. And then Tony flipped out and shot somebody in the courtroom or something over that situation.
Okay. Hey, this is the only story. Oh, hold on. I'm not trying to get off subject. This is the only soap opera is the only place where you can kill somebody and get off all the time. I don't know what happened to Tony. I don't know what happened to Tony Jones if he got off, but like it's the only soap opera is the place where you get like what's her name Ava? Didn't she kill somebody? Kill Claudia and she got off.
No, right? she killed
not Claudia.
Olivia's sister.
Connie Falconer.
Yeah.
Connie Falconer. Yeah, but I was just saying soap opera. It's just funny. It's really
No, absolutely. Because I mean, Sonny killed AJ and got away with it, and I mean, Alexis killed Louis Alcazar or something like that. Luis Alcazar, and you know, she ran down Christina's boyfriend that was beating her and killed him. You know, I mean, people get away with murder all the time on soap operas. You know, I mean, it is funny, but you can't send your starring cast to prison for life. And even if they do go to prison, they're going to find some way of writing them getting pardoned or released early. It's like, okay, you've served, 3 weeks of a life sentence, so you're going to be pardoned.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
It's true.
It is, man. It really is. This is General Hospital. I guess it's 321 now instead of 123. You're listening to us on Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash and blogtalkradio.com. Ideally, I plan to have this streaming on Facebook. So next week, or I don't know when we're going to do this again, hopefully it'll be streamed on Facebook. But I hope you guys, who's ever listening, hoping you enjoying this show, and don't be hesitant to call in as I get my words together. 646-668-8672. Sorry to cut off your conversation.
No, do your job. That's your job. Go for it.
Yep. But I don't know if you're ready to switch gears. I don't know when we're gonna put this baby to rest. It's scheduled for 90 minutes, but I do want to talk about Roger. Franco, Todd, whoever we want to call him. I do want to talk about that and some of the latest things that's going on in General Hospital.
Go ahead.
For me, and I said this earlier, I miss Todd Manning. Todd Manning, when he came over to General Hospital back in, what was that, 2012? Yeah, 2012.
In 2012, and that was even a short stint, too, because they only brought Todd Manning back in the last 6 months of One Life to Live to play the twin of Victor Lord Jr., who thought he was Todd Manning.
Oh, man. Oh, now you're getting ready to get me going.
And believe me, that was another
time
that my wife and I went apeshit when they brought Todd Manning back. And it was like, damn it, they had to bring him back, and they're getting ready to end the show. And then that stupid, that short-lived television network on the internet that had bought the rights to One Life to Live and All My Children. Was that
Prospect Prospect Park.
Yeah, Prospect Park, yeah. And I started watching it there, too. It wasn't the same, but it was nice to still see the characters and that they were still trying to go forward with it. And then it only went one short season.
I just didn't like that they made Todd to be some bad guy. I mean, he's a bad guy, but I remember his son was giving him a hard time, calling him Scarface. I don't know if you remember that. You know.
No, absolutely.
I just felt like the return of the real Todd Manning should have been much more of a celebration, but the way they
that's the thing though. If One Life to Live hadn't ended, it would have. They would have gone that direction eventually, because Taya getting Todd, even though Taya was with Todd Manning / Victor Lord Jr., you had the Taya aspect, you had the Blair aspect, Star having her dad back for real. You know, I mean, it would have went that direction, but they didn't have time because they were getting so close to the show ending. They thought that they were going to be able to go to this Prospect Park project and pick it up and run with it there. But those were only half-hour shows, and it, like I said, it only went like maybe 15 episodes before it went off the air again.
Right.
So they didn't get the chance to do anything with it. Then they jumped Todd over to General Hospital. I mean, when John McBain, Star, and Todd came over to General Hospital, I was so thrilled. I was like, this is going to be like a dream come true.
Hey,
they're going to merge One Life to Live with General Hospital. And then they freaking yanked them because Prospect Park took them to court.
I was so sad, man. And you know what? And it's weird. Come on, Jay. It's so weird because in my brain, I'm thinking Roger is gone. But in fact, he's been back. He never left the show. He stayed, but he was a different character. So.
No, that's what I'm saying. Are you talking about now or when they pulled Todd Manning?
No, in my head, like in a weird part of my head, Roger did such a great job as Todd Manning that sometimes I forget the character left the show, but the actor didn't, you know. And
right, no, that's the thing. When Prospect Park made the lawsuit and they pulled the One Life to Live characters, it didn't make a difference to General Hospital. They still offered contracts to the actors and actresses to stay on board, and that's when he took over as Franco Baldwin, and then John McBain became Silas Clay, and Star Manning became Kiki Jerome.
Oh, yeah. How can I forget that? That's in fact true.
I mean, I was glad to see that the actors stayed on the show, but I was still pissed because, you know, it's like we said earlier, the young lady that played Star Manning, that is the only lady that can play Star Manning. And I didn't see her in any other roles. If she wasn't Star Manning, that was her whole, like, you know, entire career was playing that one role. So seeing her as Kiki Jerome, I just couldn't buy it.
It's almost like they forced us. Like, for a while, I thought somebody
it was optional, I'm sure, but she wasn't going to turn down the payday. She wasn't going to be able to play Star because Prospect Park wasn't going forward with One Life to Live. So she said, fuck it, I'll just go to General Hospital and play Kiki Jerome.
You know, I would, like, with contracts like that, this is why contracts are funny, and you know way more about contracts than I do. Trust me. But couldn't they have, like, you know, the character Todd Manning, it's with two Ds. Couldn't they have sliced one D and then still called him Todd Manning, but just T-O-D instead of T-O-double-D?
No, unfortunately not, because the contract isn't a specific, you know, a name that they can use or not use. It's the likeness of. So the fact that he would still be called Todd Manning, it's like John Cena couldn't go wrestle for somebody else just because, and call himself John, J-O-N, instead of J-O-H-N, because it's still John Cena, and the persona is owned by WWE.
Okay, gotcha. Makes sense.
So the character Todd Manning, not the name per se, but the character of Todd Manning was owned by Prospect Park. But I mean, I also heard a couple of years ago when they lost the lawsuit, when Prospect Park lost the lawsuit and they were freed to use it, I was expecting to start. The only person I've seen come in from One Life to Live since they lost the lawsuit was Nora Buchanan. I thought it was the first of many returns.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, and I lost my I lost my mind when Nora popped up on the screen. I was like, holy crap, it's Nora. Oh, my God, they're getting ready to bring them all back again. But they haven't.
Iconic.
It's been kind of upsetting.
Iconic. Yeah, yeah.
But then again, that might be a COVID situation. They might have had plans but couldn't.
I was reading that there's a – because, you know, All My Children is coming back. But it's going to be a prime time show, and they're going to call it Pine Valley. It's not going to really be what we're used to seeing. I think Kelly Ripa and her husband, Mark Consuelos, they're going to be producing that show. So
really?
It's going to be some kids. Yep, that's in fact happening. I don't know when it's going to debut, but it's going to be a prime time show versus a
okay. Why couldn't somebody have done that with One Life to Live? Don't get me wrong. I know that All My Children was just as loved, but I didn't watch All My Children. I only watched One Life to Live in General Hospital. I'd like to see that happen with One Life to Live. Before my wife and I got together in '97, she watched All My Children and One Life to Live. And then she stopped watching about the same time I started watching. So she kind of always watched One Life to Live, and then I got her into General Hospital. Or I should say Steve Burton got her into General Hospital because she became obsessed with Jason Morgan.
My brother, he's here right now, and my mom. They're over my place right now where I'm doing the show. So they would tell you, when you talk about obsessed, I'm super obsessed. I got a whole bunch of black shirts, plain black shirts because of Steve Burton. I ordered leather jackets. I kid you not. Seriously, you'll think I'm idol worshiping this guy. If you see the black shirts, the leather jackets that I have, the way I try to work out, I've always tried to look like Steve. I'm not going to lie. I've always tried to look like him. And I know I'm black.
That's another reason why I believe that he excelled so much in that role, because when he first got the amnesia, because his amnesia has been permanent, unlike most soap opera amnesias. When he got into the car accident in '96, it was either late '95 or early '96. I can't remember. But he lost his memory, lost his personality, and he's like one of the only people that I've ever known that, in at least in General Hospital and most soap operas that I'm aware of, that never got his original memory back because he became Jason Morgan. But when he first became Jason Morgan, he was a scrawny kid. He didn't have the build that he has now. And he, I'm sure at some point, he told the producers and the writers and stuff, is like, I need to bulk up. If I'm going to play this enforcer, I need to bulk up. And so he freaking started hitting the gym, and he started working out the weights. I mean, that's dedication to a role. He bulked up just to make the Jason character more believable.
You've been shooting threes all night, man, shooting threes and making them. Because you right
I told
money,
you, man. This is my other addiction. It's either wrestling or soap operas, man.
And it's showing.
I should say wrestling or General Hospital.
Yeah, wrestling is a never mind. People go, I'm gonna lose my wrestling card, but they're neck and neck for me. But General Hospital that's my baby. But dedication, anything that you do, when you dedicate yourself to something, you might not get to where you want to get with it, but eventually it's going to flourish, you know. I'm saying you might not get to that level where you want to go, but if you continue to be persistent and dedicate yourself to something, eventually you're going to see the fruits of your dedication be manifested. So
the way I look at it is hard work doesn't always pay off, but half-assed work never pays off.
Ooh. Ooh, that's another nugget you dropping. That's the truth.
Because there's a lot of people out there that have bust their ass their entire lives and never become a success. But okay. They understand that you have to put in that hard work to become a success. If you think you're going to half-ass something and become a success, then you're fooling yourself. Get out of the business because you have – and some people, that drives me nuts, because there's been a lot of people over history that have done something half-assed, got recognition for it, and got like short-term fame out of it, but then they realized, oh crap, to keep this momentum, I actually have to do some hard work. That's not worth it. I'm gonna go get into drugs. I'm gonna get into this and that, or I'm gonna start acting like a total jack off or whatever. And then they lose their fame because they didn't want to put in the hard work.
Yep. That's so true. That's 100% true. I couldn't have said it better myself. And you also listen to Jed. He's spitting facts tonight, and he's spitting the truth. But
yes, I'm a very wise man, except for when it comes to making decisions for myself.
Hey, man. At least you're being honest. But I don't know you. I know you, but I don't know you outside of these walls of radio podcasting. But
you know me about as well as anybody else does, because I am a total open book. I am completely transparent.
Yeah.
What you hear on these radio shows is the same way I am any other time of the day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I believe that you made a lot of great decisions in your life. But nobody is a,
well,
nobody,
I don't know. I'm still married,
so
I don't know if that's, you know,
uh-oh.
I don't know if that qualifies as a good decision or a bad decision.
Well, I'm not married, so I don't know what that qualifies as. But we'll save that for next week. I'll tell you why I'm not married and things of that nature. We'll spend 5 minutes.
That's because Martez is trying to be an entrepreneur so he can be a player.
Speaking of that, don't let out all my secrets. Speaking of that, what more can I say about Sonny Caruso? And I'm talking about his look, not his facial look, but I'm talking about the way he dressed. And speaking of players, like he's a player, man. Sonny Caruso is a player, and
oh God, yeah, he's had sex with half the cast. And I'm not talking about Maurice Bernard. I'm talking about Sonny Caruso, because I mean two kids with Carly. He's got one with Alexis, has one with Ava, has one with Olivia.
Oh, yeah.
And not to mention the you know, couple dozen girlfriends he's had beside the point. I mean, you had starting with Brenda. Connie. Dated Carly doesn't factor, honey, because she's his wife. But he dated Emily briefly when he was diagnosed with bipolar. There was the FBI agent Reese, I think, around 07. I'm forgetting probably a million more. But yeah, Sonny's definitely a player.
Oh yeah, I think he dated the prosecutor before Vanessa. Before I'm gonna call her acting name. Before Brenda came back, he was dating the prosecutor. He was dating. He was a fling.
Well, like I said, I told you I was gonna forget about a dozen of them. But yeah, I mean, I only know about Brenda in 96, and technically 95 was when they got together. Now, I think Sonny came in 94, so I don't know what other girlfriends he had prior to Brenda.
I would love to, if we begin to get the listenership that we're looking for with this particular show, I would love to do like a show where who was his greatest love? Was it Carly or was it Brenda? Because some people would tell you Brenda.
Carly.
Still to this day, it's Sonny's.
15 years ago, without hesitation, I'd have said Brenda. But now, I say Carly.
It has to be.
Well, yeah. He's married with two kids with her. Brenda was just a puppy love.
Yep, yep. And I don't know, I don't remember, but was she okay with him being in the mob? Because Carly, she's okay with it.
No, Brenda was never, no. Brenda always pretended like she was okay, but whenever things would get a little intense, that's when she would start whining that she wanted him out of the business. That was the thing. Oh, Brenda always wanted him out of the business. Carly just couldn't be with him because of the business. And then eventually after her affair with Franco, not affair, but her fling with Franco, that's when they decided that Carly's going to accept Sonny for who he is and what he does. So that's another reason why I've totally invested in this Carly, is because this Carly doesn't shy away. She doesn't like complain about, oh, Sonny's so unsafe. Oh, my kids are in danger because of Sonny. No, your kids are in danger because you had sex with Sonny. That's just a part of, you know, now you have to deal with the after effects, and you should embrace the fact that Sonny's the only one that can keep them safe.
Simple as that. Simple as that. I know they had flirted with the idea of breaking them up when Morgan had died, but I'm glad they didn't.
Oh, come on. They've broken up a million times. I actually thought they were going to do this thing where her and Jax got back together now that he's presumed dead.
Well,
and then Sonny comes back with his memory again.
I'm thinking they don't know what they want to do yet, because I think it could be Jax, it could be Jason.
Jason will never hook up with Carly in that way. That is something that's always been such a deep-seated friendship. They will never bring Jason and Carly together like that. It was an option. Yes, my wife needs to call in because she's trying to get involved in this conversation. But no, my wife brought up that back when Carly first gave birth to Michael, there was a very brief window where it was going to be Carly and Jason, but it didn't work out because I think she had sex with Sonny or something. And then they went in a different direction. But that was 23 years ago. And they've been best friends for 23 years. I don't think they're going to try to go in a different direction and bring them together.
I wouldn't want them to break that up, but at the same time, I'm reading so many things about that possibly happening. Yeah, hey, my husband's dead. I mean, you're here. You're running the organization now. What the heck? Let's try it out again. But I'm leaning towards what you were saying, that's not going to happen.
That's what I'm saying, is I can see that happening with Jax, not with Jason.
But I'm looking for something that's not obvious. It will be obvious. That wouldn't surprise me if she went ahead and Jax. If she went ahead and started dating him or whatever. But Jason, that would completely bring a new story to this. Like, add a new layer to
it. It would. And I'm not going to say that it's impossible, because there is nothing impossible in the world of soap operas. They have proven that many times over that they will stretch reality, and they will break reality for if the storyline calls for it. So I'm not saying it's impossible, and it could happen. Mm-hmm. The chances are so infinitesimal, and I hope to God that they don't, because I would hate to see. I don't know. I'm on the fence about that. Now that you bring that up, it's starting to pique my interest on how they would play it out. If they could play it out in a way that would be acceptable, or if it would be so asinine that you just wish they hadn't done it to begin with.
Right. Hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Yeah.
So now, press 1.
Oops.
Hello. It's a lot we're going to be looking forward to. Don't know when we're doing this show again, but it's going to be really, really soon. Anything you want to
we're not planning on this being an every week thing.
Who knows? I mean, no, I don't want to burn us out. You already got your obligations on Sundays. I don't want Maybe every 2 weeks.
You should know me by now. I don't get burned out.
Okay. Well, we'll revisit this. We'll talk about this. But it may be moving to Sundays after the 21st, right? You're going to do it on Sundays.
With my schedule being as flexible as it is now, whatever works best for you is fine for me. I'll work it out
Okay. Some
other way.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, next
I can easily go DoorDash for like 3 hours before the show, come home, do the show, and then go out and DoorDash for another 3 hours. That's no big deal.
Simple as that. Okay. Cool. We'll figure it out. And I do want to come back next week at least, and then we'll see how it plays out in the near future.
And anybody who does tune into this show, I'm sure that Martez posted on the web on the fan page and everything about. Unfortunately, we were not able to bring you Real Andrews on today. There was a complication with availability, are still. Are you agreeing? Or are you trying to cut me off?
Well, since this is open talk, and since I try to be transparent like you. I guess I goofed up, you know.
I was transparent.
Handling...
I was just not giving out all the details. I didn't want to say you screwed up.
I'm okay with that, but I didn't think I screwed up, but apparently I did. I didn't schedule the interview properly. The guy has been communicating me for weeks, but I guess I didn't schedule the interview properly at the proper time, so. It'll be happening either April the 28th or...
That was the only thing I was trying to get to is that we were still dedicated to bringing them the interview. And you're over here trying to fall on a sword and shit, trying to, you know... I'm going to be totally transparent. It's like, dude, I was trying to be transparent in a tactful way.
All right, just tell me to shut up next time or just mute me. You got the power to mute me tonight.
I should have.
Yeah, you should have. But... Anyway,
so are we wrapping up for the day then?
Yeah, we can wrap up. I got to do wrestle talking indeed at 7 o'clock, so I got to get my mind right to talk about wrestling. I don't know why I do that.
Now
I
got to shift gears back to wrestling. Okay.
Yeah, right. I got to – the wrestling is on the
Ladies, I'm a little disappointed in you because we Martez was telling me that it was a great response for this show from you guys, but we didn't get any callers. I hope we get a lot of views, but – give us a call at 646-668-8672 whenever we're doing this show and let us know about your experiences with General Hospital. I do my best not to talk over people.
No. I don't have a problem with it because I'm not a long talker. You know, I like when you talk long. So when I come in and say my little piece, you can fill in the rest of the 3/4 of that gap. I'm just a one-fourth.
Well, this is
person.
Also the first episode, you know. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that, you know, you and I had never talked about soap operas in depth before, so there was a lot to really go over. Now, with the next couple of episodes of this, you know, once you know we've gotten all this out of the way, I might start getting that dead air again where I'm like, well, where the hell do I go from here?
Yeah.
However, what I'm trying to do with My Two Cents on Wrestling, where I watch the old events, I have – all of 1995 of General Hospital and One Life to Live on DVD. I can upload that stuff to my computer and set it up to where we can watch old episodes of One Life to Live in General Hospital.
I could just about guarantee you nobody is doing that in the soap world. Now that's a game changer right there.
Not since since SoapNet went off the air. You can find a handful of episodes on YouTube, but I have a hookup in Canada that has every single episode.
Oh, my God.
Unfortunately, I don't have the money to get it. I was recording them myself for a long time, from, 2007 to 2014, I think. I recorded every single episode. So I have from 2007 all the way to 2014, also on DVD. And then I found this lady on this website, and I went and got all of 1995. Now, I wanted to fill that gap and get 96 through 07, but that is literally 11 years of two shows that played 5 days a week. So just to give you an idea, the end cost would have been about $7,000.
Ooh, that's a nice amount of money. Yeah.
Yeah. Believe me, if I had hit, if I could just hit some kind of small lottery, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
My wife has been clamoring
for years. She wants to see the 1996 year because that was when Carly came on. She wants to see all the original episodes with Carly on it.
Yep. And you know what, Jared, for me, it's such a historic show. It's such a show where if you miss something, you kind of need to go back and figure out why this happened and why that happened. Because
Sometimes storylines are drawn out so long you can miss a month and still not really be behind. But sometimes when they do, like if you miss this last week or 2 weeks, you're kind of SOL because everything blew up in the last 2 weeks. The whole thing with Finn's affair with Jackie, and the fact that you know he's got the DNA results that Chase being potentially his son. It was throwing me because his mom keeps calling him Henry, but Chase is potentially Finn's son. That came all out. Franco dying, freaking the whole Valentine standing at the wedding and pretty much calling out Peter for everything that he's done. It's like if you miss the last 2 weeks, you're SOL. You're gonna have to find somewhere to go back and check, get caught up because now you're behind the sketch to the times. But
absolutely.
We got another caller. I don't know if that's Gina again, but I'm gonna bring that caller on real quick. Hang on.
You got about 7 minutes to go, so yeah.
Caller, you're on the line.
Marquez, this is Mama Swink.
Hey, what's
Mama
up?
Swink?
How you doing?
I assume it's Nick Swink's mama.
What time did the show start?
It started at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Oh,
4 p.m. Central.
Don't be sorry. Oh gosh. You still got 7 minutes.
See, that's the problem. That's the problem with having shows that, you know, kind of reaches to multiple states there, Martez. You have to think about your time zones.
I would have been on for you had I known that. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
We're gonna adjust this and make sure you – can you be on with us next week? Because we're going to do this again this same time next week.
Yeah, I can do that. I was listening, but I didn't tune in till 5 o'clock, and I realized I missed it. So,
oh, gosh.
I apologize.
You've been listening for 20 minutes, and you didn't call in?
Well, no, not really. I didn't get on here until probably about maybe 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. But I was listening because I was trying to, and I didn't hear until the very end that Marcus wasn't coming on. So, you know, but I didn't.
Yeah, that Martez fell on his sword on that one. I tried to cover it up as just a scheduling conflict, but he's like, no, I screwed up.
Own this stuff.
Stuff happens.
Yeah. Thanks for understanding. Talk about? Anything you want to talk about pertaining to GH, even though we got 5 minutes to go?
Well, not too much. I don't watch my episodes until late at night when everybody's asleep, when I can listen to it in peace and I don't have to answer questions. I don't like to answer questions. I just want to watch the show.
That's usually when I would look at my family and say, either sit here and watch it with me every day or don't watch it at all. Get out of my face.
Yeah, I like to watch. I put it on my DVR every day, and then I just watch it when nobody's around and I can watch it in peace and quiet. And, you know, because sometimes you want to digest what you hear.
Absolutely.
You can figure out the plots that are going on, you know. So I don't believe that Todd Manning is dead. so he's alive.
Oh, yeah.
It's all set up.
You mean Franco?
Yeah.
Or, well, they're the same person.
Franco.
They
get, well, see, that's
yeah.
the thing. It could always be a setup where the I mean, yeah, the gunshot may have happened, but he's not actually dead and this and that. And it's
but
soap
when
operas will stretch
out,
the reality.
When they pulled him out there, you could tell by the face on there, Franco's face, it was a dummy. You could tell. I mean, they did a close-up.
Oh, you mean when Cameron
pulled
open the morgue drawer?
Yep. When they pulled it open, you could tell that it wasn't him. Because usually when they have somebody, when they pull them out of the drawer, it's usually the person laying there. But you could tell right off if you looked at the close-up of the face that it was a plastic face, a dummy, whatever. So
you got me on that one then, Mama Swink, because I didn't catch it. I thought it was him laying there.
No, you could tell. If you looked really close, because I froze it just so I could see when he pulled open the drawer, and I'm like, no, that's not him. It's all a setup. He's coming back. He definitely is coming back to GH. But they haven't decided in form, huh?
I would be disappointed, Mama Swink. You know, I want to see the character Todd Manning come back. That's one of my beloved characters. So,
right.
Even if Franco comes back, just let him
right.
stay away for a while. Just give Todd Manning a few months to be Todd Manning, and then bring back Franco.
Yeah,
that's what I hope.
Yeah, something like that's gonna happen.
I'd be happy with them recasting Franco as long as they bring back Todd Manning.
Yeah, I Todd Manning.
Because if you remember, he's actually a recast to begin with, because
right.
James Franco was the original Franco, which was not a very good name for his character, considering his last name was Franco. But I loved the fact that they got such an A-list actor to come onto a soap opera for all those episodes to play this character, and then when brought James Hallworth back to GH to play Franco, I was so disappointed, because even though I was happy to see the guy that played Todd Manning, you know, on my General Hospital every day, I thought
right.
it was such a loss to the character of Franco, because James Franco played that psychotic so well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, he definitely did. I agree with you there. But, you know, they weren't able to keep him on the payroll, just like Elizabeth Taylor when she was on as Cassadine, you know. The couple of times she was on the show, you know, but they can't keep somebody like that on there, you know.
Absolutely.
So the price is phenomenal, you know, to keep an A-list star like that on there. But he was a great Franco, you know, Franco was. So.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we didn't have a whole lot of time to talk to you today, Miss Mama Swink, because it's so late in the show, but we only got about a minute and a half left, so we're going to kind of have to wrap it up. But like Martez said, hopefully next week you'll come back on, and we'll have the whole episode to chat.
Okay. Well, you guys take care.
Tell Swink I said hey.
You too.
I will. All right. All right. Bye.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's cool, man. That's cool. I think that's a win for us, man, to have her call in. That's a win.
Yeah, we got at least two callers, even though Gina didn't really talk about General Hospital. Gina will call any show. She'll just pick, radio show, I got a call. This is your baby. This was your idea. So even though I'm technically called in as a host, go ahead and wrap us up here, Martez.
Oh, right. I want to thank everybody that's listening today. I want to thank those that called in today. I want to thank my co-host, Jared, for doing the show with myself today. We got many more cool shows coming your way. We're going to be having unique shows, interviews. Maybe we may play some games, go over possible scenarios, things of that nature. There's so many ideas we can do with this show. Even what Jared was talking about earlier, possibly us doing the show while
watching old episodes.
Yep, so there's so many cool things we can do. I want to thank everybody for listening. This has been General Hospital, formerly known as General Hospital 123. It's actually General Hospital 321. Talk to you next
321, General Hospital.
Oh, 32. Oh, I didn't know you said that. I thought it was General Hospital. Yeah, we're going to discuss this. All right, everybody, have a good night. Good night, Jeff.
Good night, man. Have a good one.
You do.